Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be here and to see all your faces. That's the best painting of all in life, when I can see faces that are just delightful to look at. And I tell you, it's sometimes a little hard when you get a little older. And every time your glasses have to change, then I think, what is the matter with me? But it is they are my glasses. I, first of all, want to say thank you to Dr. Gray and for the chaplains, for Dr. Martin Schell, for the wonderful music, and for your welcome to let me come to speak for you. That's a great privilege. And I promise you we will have a good 20 minutes, okay? Good. You know, it's good to come to Wilmore. I had a pair of old shoes that I almost threw out, but they were very expensive. I was born with big feet. Some of you are big feet too. Size 11, white, very hard to find shoes. And I had these shoes and they were so wonderful. But the zipper had broken. Well, you can't run around with broken zippers, right? Well, I popped them in the back of my car when I came from Virginia, Richmond, Virginia, where we lived. And I thought, well, I will see. Maybe I can repair them myself. I grew up during the war, so we don't throw things easily away. So here I was, and I found a shoe repair person who made my shoes new. Look at them. Zippers, elastic band, everything in it. So don't throw your good shoes away. There is someone, and you can come to me and I tell you who it is, okay? I think we should have a bus going to that man because we throw so many shoes away. I also want to introduce someone, and that is Mrs. Ramona. She's from Germany. Now, that makes me terribly nervous, of course. You can imagine that. But I'm not. Because the woman I speak about and my own life have learned that we can love people and that God is a forgiving God and that He can make all things new. And that we have made so many friends all over Germany. So when I started to work with Corrie ten Boom, we often went to Germany to tell the story of Corrie ten Boom. Can you imagine? I also want to introduce you to the First Lady from Asbury Seminary. And I don't know if she's here, but Mrs. Stannard, are you here? Yep. Would you stand, please? Yes, thank you. We have something in common on Tuesday mornings. We start out to pray for our children. We have a daughter, Johanna, in South Africa, and a son here in Kentucky. So it's wonderful to have my dear prayer partner here this morning, and I know she's praying while I speak. Okay. The Japanese poet, Maja Kenji, says, "We must embrace pain and burn it as fuel for our journey." I think that helped me because sometimes we think about ourselves when we have a lot of hard and difficult times that God even can make fuel out of it, that it is a strength on our journey. There are people who have never had any difficulties in life, although I don't believe that. They just don't remember them, and that is the hardest part of life. But if you can remember the pain in your life, transform it into fuel so that it will be really a strength in your journey. And not just for yourself, but everyone around you. I'm going to share a little story, or a big story in a short time, about Corrie ten Boom and her forgiveness. Can I put this away? Otherwise, I think I have to speak in that. I'm not a perfect speaker. You see, anything that distracts, I'm going with it. We all have the right to forgive. And what a big thing that is. I'd like to first of all tell my story a little bit so you understand. I was born in 1940. Every person here, I hope, well educated in many different areas, maybe not in history, but for that I like to just give you a little part of what the Second World War was about. 1940. Nazi Germany took over the Netherlands. I was just born. in May. Little tiny thing. Or not so small. I was 9 pounds, my mother said. If you make a little line, then from 1940 to this time, that makes me 71. So I always say I'm on my way to 80. And I feel darn good. It is so nice. You know what is so nice? That I don't need to feel anymore. Can I say this? Do I have to say it? Will I embarrass myself? When you get older, kids, it's the most wonderful thing. I wish you could. You should all step in my shoes. 1940, when the bombs were falling on Rotterdam in the Netherlands, our city was flattened by bombs. My father later on was taken to a work camp in Bremerhaven to work for Nazi Germany in a munition factory, and my father came back maybe once in the 6 months. He saved anything that he could save and put it between his dirty clothing so that we had something to eat, a little piece of bacon that would stay well. Because in that time, there was no food anymore in the Netherlands. 1944. My mother had to make a big decision in her life to see, like all the other children, dying on the streets, no food. And then my mother went to the Dutch Reformed pastor and said, "Pastor, what can I do?" And he told my mother that there were wonderful farms in the eastern part of the Netherlands who would take children for the duration of the war. And my mother had to make her mind and to make it so that she could handle and to see her children alive. No person knew how long that war would take. It actually was 5 years. So in 1944, in February, my mother made an enormous decision. Mothers make a decision you cannot imagine. She had to leave the oldest and the youngest in Rotterdam with friends. And she took me and two of my brothers, my oldest two brothers, with her. She left late in the evening, and I was sitting on a little red wagon that my mother had made for my oldest brother, a little red wooden wagon. And we started to walk at night because daytime was too dangerous. But I think, too, that it was also for mother, knowing that her baby and the oldest daughter would be asleep and that she didn't need to say goodbyes. Goodbyes can be so unbelievably painful. And then we walked for 10 days. My grandmother, on the way to those 10 days, had saved kidney beans, and she had heated them and cooked them for our trip. And me in my little red wagon and my green velour outfit that the neighbors had made for this trip from the curtains that had been in front of our windows. We left. And we walked in the icy cold 10 days. And mother had to give us each one away. I give you that little story to connect it with another one. In 1944, February, the same month, there was a family in the Netherlands, in Haarlem, Holland, who had a great love for the Jewish people. And they started in 42 to save Jewish people. It was one of those evenings that Corrie ten Boom walked over to a friend, Martin. He was a doctor in town, and he said to Corrie, "Since you are not married, why don't you come on Friday evening and just be with our children, the two little ones, and read them some stories so that my wife and I, we can go out and have some time together for an hour." And Corrie, with great joy, walked always every Friday night in the Dutch city towards that family. And that one night when she walked over and she knocked on the door, normally the door would open and children would just laugh and they were happy Tante Corrie was coming. And that night when Corrie knocked that door, the door only went open very little. And the doctor walked out and he said, "Corrie, you cannot come in tonight." And Corrie said, "Why? Did I do something wrong?" And he said, "No, you didn't do anything wrong. But today we got a letter from the officers, the Nazi officers, that all our family has to be tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock on the big place under the St. Bavo that's in Harlem, the big marketplace. Corrie, we are Jewish." And so there was Corrie standing. Never was able to say goodbye to those two little ones. But the house was filled with the entire family. That family never came back. Corrie ten Boom walked home that night. And she said, "God, I have given my life as a young girl, my heart, to you. But this night, I want to give my life to you. Because what can I do for your Jewish people, for your people? God, show me the way." And a 20 minutes walk back to the watchmaker shop where Corrie's father had a watchmaker shop, and Corrie was the assistant, and her sister Betsy and Willem and Nolly were living in that house. When Corrie came back, she knew what she had to do. In that family, they had prayed for many, many years for the Jewish people. And their prayer was often, "Lord Jesus, bring peace to Jerusalem. Bring peace to Jerusalem. And Lord Jesus, come quickly." And when Corrie walked upstairs to their dining room, the family was sitting around doing a Bible study. And Father ten Boom looked at his daughter, 50 years old, and he said, "Corrie, why are you so early?" And then she told him what happened, and she said, "Father, I know Mother and you helped me to find Jesus, but tonight it's not just my heart, but I want to give my life for the Jewish people. Father, can we open our house for the Jewish people who are in such great danger?" And Father ten Boom was prayed up. He didn't need to think about it. "Of course, Corrie. Of course we can. But how? We have no place." "Oh," Corrie said, "we go make place. And we need to make a hiding place." And the next day, she had a carpenter coming. Every person's name was changed. If you come tonight to the movie, you will see what happened. And there, that day, that family started to build the hiding place. And from that day on, when Jewish people were in great danger, they knew where to go, and they came to the ten Boom family and many other people in the city. There were more underground workers like Corrie. And that hiding place was filled with people, underground workers or Jewish people. The hiding place wasn't very much bigger than two of these tables. And about 7 people could stand there if they would stand like this. And they trained themselves every day. Because if Nazi police would come in and knock on the door and would come in the whole house in a couple of seconds had to be changed. And so they learned to turn tables and put dishes away, and in such a short time. And then they would just crawl underneath that linen closet behind Corrie's bed, and there they would stand. And Corrie would say, "It took too long. You need to do it quicker." All for that moment when the Nazi soldiers would come. That happened in February 1944, the month that my mama started to walk. My father was away, and she left the two in Rotterdam, and we arrived in the different farms, and mother gave us away till the duration of the war. She picked us up afterwards, But I did not know who that woman was. And lots of things happened during those 16 months. Things that my memory didn't want to remember. So here I was. Much later in my life, when I read Corrie's books, A Prisoner and Yet, I started somewhere a little bit to connect with her. I didn't know her, but this Corrie ten Boom in 1944, and I wish I had a whole morning, so I have to shrink in every story, that same month, Corrie ten Boom and the entire family was discovered by Nazi soldiers. It was done by a person that wasn't honest. He came in, knocked on the door, Corrie was ill, and Betsy went to the door and said, "Sir, what do you want?" And he said, "Miss ten Boom, I have heard that you help Jewish people. And my wife is Jewish, and she needs a place to hide. But she's all the way up in the northern part of the Netherlands, and I need 400 guilders to get her here. Would you help us?" And Betsy just watched. She didn't answer and said, "Can you come back at 4 o'clock? And at 4 o'clock, she heard cars and trucks driving into the Bartel-Jorisstraat where they lived. And when she looked out of the window, there was the Nazi polizei. They came in. And also that man that asked for 400 guilders. And he started to knock on that door. And all the Jewish people, all seven, and the underground workers, they disappeared behind Corrie's bed. And then they knocked the door in. And then, very quickly, all the life of Corrie ten Boom and her family changed. They were taken to prison that same year that my mama walked. Many years later, Corrie and I, we sat in a hotel room and we discovered that me as a little four-year-old girl and she in her 50s were on a journey together. And that after all those years, God brought us together to work 9 years. They were great years, and I learned a lot. One of the most important things is that whatever we do for Jesus is never lost nor forsaken for anything in our lives. Everything is important. So when the family was taken downstairs in the watchmaker shop, Father ten Boom in his 80s, can you imagine? There was one German soldier that he knew very well because that boy loved clocks. And Father ten Boom started to love this German soldier. And they looked at clocks together. And one of those Nazi soldiers was this young man. And when Father ten Boom, stiff in his old age, walked down those winding staircase, and Corrie ten Boom, who was beaten up, to tell that she was having Jewish people in her house, and she did not reveal that, Father ten Boom looked at his clocks, and he knew it was the last time that he walked through this place. And he said to this young man, "Do you mind if I can pull one time more that weight on that clock so it can clock 24 hours longer?" And then this young man said these words, "Mr. ten Boom, if you promise me that you never save Jewish people again, you can die in your own bed." Father ten Boom looked at his entire family and he made a big choice. And he said, "If I stay in this house, God told me to save lives and not kill them." And with that, another soldier pushed him in the truck And off they went to Scheveningen prison. And when they arrived, his whole family, the grandchildren, the helpers, anyone who came to that watchmaker shop, you know what happened? There was a sign in the window that when it was dangerous, that sign, it was a triangle, the point was up. And if there was no danger, it was down. When those soldiers came in, one of the soldiers saw that an underground worker turned that triangle around for safety. And that soldier turned it around. So every person who was an underground worker in Haarlem, Holland, came into that house and they walked into the most dangerous place. Many died in concentration camps. So there she was. In that truck, Father Ten Boom, the last time together. And when all these people walked out of that truck, Father Ten Boom was the last one. And when he looked over his entire family and friends, he said these words, "Children, never forget, Jesus is victor." Children, students, faculty, never forget, Jesus is victor. He is. And those were the last words that Corrie Ten Boom heard. Father Ten Boom died after 10 days and was buried in a pauper graveyard. Corrie Ten Boom and Betsy, her sister, were taken from that prison after 10 months of soldiery confinement to the first camp in Vught, that was in the Netherlands. And then, after 3 months working in the Philips factory, Corrie and Betsy were taken with all the other women to Ravensbrück, the most dreadful place that you can ever imagine. How many people died there? 92,000 people died. 132 people, women and children. The children were often killed before they were even delivered into this world. What can a human mind and a heart do? There was place in every barrack for 400 people, but 1,400 prisoners were living in those barracks. And you can imagine how awful it was. It was not just for the Jewish people. It's also for political prisoners, for people with different faith, and people would be killed steadily. While they were in Vught, Corrie learned a wonderful lesson that she took with her. And one of the things is that she had to learn that there is nothing too small for God's love and nothing too big for his power. During that time, she had a cold and she prayed, "God, I need something, a handkerchief." And God provided it by a student of hers. While she was passing a barrack, it was a hospital barrack, and while she passed it, she heard her name, "Tante Kees, Tante Kees." And when she saw, she threw something down. And in that piece of newspaper was a piece of a sheet. And she looked up and she said, "Mary, why did you do that?" And she said, "Because God told me to give a piece to you." She had pulled sheets apart for bandages. You know, it was so small. But it was so important for Corrie ten Boom because going to Ravensbrück had nothing to do with a little tiny handkerchief. It had to do with horrible pains. One day in Ravensbrück, they all had to go and pick up pieces of iron and pick them and bring them to the top of a hill. And they were carried down again. And then suddenly Corrie heard her name and she said, "Corrie, look, your sister is beaten." And when Corrie looked, a guard was beating her sister. And although Corrie was not allowed, but Corrie started to run toward her sister, put her hands by her face and said, "Betsy, Betsy," and looked at that guard and said, nothing. She took a piece of metal and she was ready to just beat that guard. And then with that, she turned Betsy's face and Betsy said, "Corrie, Corrie, don't hate. Don't hate, don't hate." And Corrie had to learn a lesson of forgiveness. She did not know what forgiveness was all about until that moment when she could have killed someone. And she walked back that night to her barrack. And there she could not do her little Bible study. Stood outside, washed her face, and she said to God, like some of you have done, God, I hate. And she washed her face and she said, God, I cannot forgive. And then a scripture came to her mind, Romans 5, verse 5, that says that the love of God is brought into your heart by the Holy Spirit. And with that love, you can forgive. Well, that is a very long story. But Corrie went back to that barrack. And her sister, who was beaten up badly, she heard her read the word from Ephesians. Oh, the height and the depth of God's love. One of the worst things that happened one morning when they looked out of these broken windows, every morning, thousands of women were standing in roll call. And if there was someone missing, the people around them would be beaten up. And every morning they stood under the smoke, the chimneys of what? Of bodies who were burned that day. And the dust fell on their shoulders. Every morning, people would be killed, marched to the ovens. And that one morning, it wasn't 5:30, it was 4:30. When Corrie looked out at the window, she saw all these women standing already on that big place. They did not have any clothing on. They stood there naked. And Corrie said to her sister, Betsy, until now, I have been able to do everything because God gave me strength. But I cannot stand there in front of these horrible people, naked. Look at my body. It looks so ugly. And then Betsy, she said, Corrie, they took his clothing and he hung there naked for us, for our sins. And there in the midst of that pain, the cross of Christ was risen. That our Lord Jesus Christ was bigger than that whole place full of naked women who maybe had their last minutes. There, Betsy started to sing quietly the song that we just sang, the hymn. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. We are living in a time, students, that anything can happen. We just heard it in the prayers. Anything. Are we ready? Are we ready to stand before the cross of Christ and say, Lord Jesus, this is what I want to do. Not just waste my life, but I want to give it to you. Students, I have no idea. Maybe your life will be so simple and so easy and so joyful. You marry the right guy or the right girl. Everything is perfect. But with your happiness, there are people around you who are suffering. You only need to turn on a television. Last night, children in Uganda are lively buried under their new houses to honor the gods. What are we doing today? Have a grateful heart for this day that you have. And be open for the great things that God has for you. There are children who need your strength. I had to forgive. And some of you have to forgive someone else. And this week, my prayer is that there will be something so high on this campus that will raise and take away the hate that took away your joy, the memories on that horrible moment when you were abused. There are so many young people who are living with the worst memories, they cannot even remember them. Why do I tell you that in this one sentence? Because I'm one of them. And forgiveness can set you free. That does not mean that you have to become a friend with that person, but that you release your forgiveness to whoever harmed you, even this very day. Instead of me praying, I want us to just stand and that we sing the last part. And I want you to remember. I want you to remember that it was Corrie ten Boom and Betsy who walked with all these women that day forward and sang and lifted the cross of Christ high.